So today's daf is Samach Vav. We start the seventh parak. We should learn for Refuah Shleimah for Lev Yitzchak Ben Reizel. There was an attack at 770 yesterday. I think it was. You heard this?
He's okay,
but he was injured. Someone entered into 770 yesterday. Someone with a knife and hurt someone. And he's not in serious condition, but he's still injured in the hospital.
Yeah, I always used to wonder when I learned there, it's open 24 hours, middle of Eastern Parkway. I always used to wonder how it's...
But you know what Chabad is? Like you go to Spain to the regular shul, and they have 20 securities, Chabad is open door.
Yeah, they're never afraid. I know.
Now that's going to change. Yeah.
So no, there's a big police command over them.
Either way, someone entered in, and the police came and killed him.
It was a fight. You know, it wasn't like a terror attack.
Yeah, the homeless guy.
Yeah, I don't know the situation. I know someone's injured. So he's not in serious condition. Yeah. But okay. We begin the seventh parak now. The Mishnah tells us we're going to learn some new concepts about confusing topics of Tzon Barzel and a Melug. The Mishnah tells us the different properties when a person gets married, a husband and wife, the wife brings in certain properties into the marriage. So the Mishnah tells us that Almana Lekoin Gadol, Alman who marries a Kohen Gadol, which by now we should know is Aser, and a Gush of a Chalutza Lekoin Hedot, that also is Aser, in this marriage, Hichnisa Lo Avdei Mulug, Vavdei Tzon Barzel. So in the marriage, the woman, the wife, brings within the marriage, she brings in these Avadim, who come as part of the Mulug, and Avadim as part of the Tzon Barzel. So what exactly is the difference between these two types of properties? So before going through the Mishnah, Rashi tells us, a long Rashi here, explains us the difference between these two different properties. It says Rashi, Yechnisu l'avdi mulug, Masha isha machneses l'bayla, that which the wife brings into this marriage to her husband, some property, v'shamalo l'kablam olav b'achrayos, and they assess the value of it, and he took upon himself, the husband, to be responsible for the property. Ksuvasa, the responsibility of the ksuva, having to pay for it if anything happens. Kamosha kosvin, v'don n'dunya, t'anelas lei, who Mosif connected, and he adds on other responsibilities into the ksuba, what he would owe her. The kosev sachakol, kibala ploni kach vakach b'ksuvasa, korin tzon barzel. So he takes upon himself the responsibility of this property that she brings into this relationship, and additional money that he would have to pay her in the ksuba. This is called tzon barzel, says Rashi. V'yesh, and there's other types of property, shemachneses mamon harbe, she brings a lot of money into this marriage, ve'eno koseves kulo b'ksuvas, it's not all written in the ksuba, u'mishayeres la'atma, she's left over to herself, this is called nichse mulug, v'abal ocha peyos b'keren shalav. So the difference is, Rashi tells us, is tzon barzel is the keren, it's konet to the husband, the husband really owns it, as opposed, that's tzon barzel, and mulug is nichse mulug is owned by her. It's just the baal gets to eat from the peros of this property. It's a very important yisoel to remember. Whenever you see it, people get confused which is which. Tzon barzel he owns, and nichse mulug she owns.
But tzon barzel he owns, but he has a responsibility to keep the keren
exactly right
intact.
Exactly right. So then Rashi continues and tells us that to explain this point, the habal ocha peros vakeren shela, but she owns the keren of the nichse mulug. Kayim v'im mesu, mesula. And if the peros die or anything, the property gets ruined, it's for her loss because she owns a property, so it's her loss. O pichsu, pichsula, everything goes down in value. It's for her because she owns the nichse mulug. So what's the lashon tzon barzel, says Rashi? It's keren kayim, the fact that the keren's kayim, she'ein poches v'nifsed, it doesn't get lost. Shafilu mesu kulon achriyusun alav. If it even completely gets destroyed, he's responsible to pay her back for that amount. So that even though he owns the keren of the tzon barzel, he has to pay her back if everything gets destroyed, if they were to get divorced.
Now what happens when they get divorced? What happens with the tzon barzel goes back to her?
Tzon barzel goes back to her even though she owns it, even though he owns it. And nichse mulug certainly stays with her because she owns it in the first place. So that's the klal. Again, tzon barzel is owned by him, and nichse mulug, owned by him, but with strings attached, and nichse mulug is owned by her. So that being the case, let's go to the mission now. What?
It's going to be complicated.
No, it won't be. Just if you know that yisod, that tzon right. Barzel is his, and nichse mulug is hers, that everything should flow now.
When money is involved, everything is complicated.
Oh, okay. Okay. So if that's the case, then it's going to be complicated. So then so the Mishnah tells us, so they get married, and we're talking about, again, a marriage of an Isser, where it's an Almana to Kohen Gadol, or a Grusha V'chilutza to Kohen Hedyo. So even though the marriage is Isser, the marriage is binding. And in this marriage, she brings in Avadim that come from Nichse Mulug, and some Avadim that come from Tzon Barzo. Now, Avdei Mulug, Lo Yuchlu, B'Tshuma. So the Avadim that come from the Nichse Mulug are not able to eat Tshuma, because since they're owned by her still, Nichse Mulug are owned by her, and they're not allowed to be married, so they're not allowed to eat the Tshuma. Normally, a woman, a Bas Yisrael, who marries a Kohen, she's now an Eishes Kohen and can eat Tshuma. But when there's an Isser involved in the marriage, she's not allowed to eat Tshuma, and the property brought in also through Nichse Mulug, also, the Avadim also can't eat Tshuma, because they're not owned by him, they're owned by her. And since she cannot eat, so her Avadim cannot eat either. If you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, Avdei Mulug lo yochlu, Lefisha Hein Shela, the Avadim are hers by Nichse Mulug, V'Chalala. And since she's not allowed to marry the Kohen, by marrying him, Be'isser, it makes her into Chalala. She loses any status of Kedusha's Kohen that she could have gotten from marrying him, since it's Aser. So normally, again, when a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, she becomes an Eishes Kohen. But when there's an Isser involved in the marriage, she becomes a Chalala and cannot eat Tshuma, and so to her Avadim may not eat Tshuma either. But when it comes to Avdei Tzon Barzel, which is Tzon Barzel is owned by the Kohen, in the relationship, the marriage is binding, even though it's Aser, it goes to his ownership, and then Yochlu, because he's a Kohen. So the Kohen is allowed to eat, and he can also feed his Avadim. Ve'lehein Avdei Mulug, how do you define what Avdei Mulug is? Now, we know already Avdei Mulug is her own, owned by her. Im Mesu, if they died of Avadim, Mesu La, they died to her because she owned them. Im Hosir, if they went up in value or had more children, let's say, Hosir La, it went up for her. Afa Pishu Chai B'mazonoson, even though the husband has to feed the Avadim, Hare Elu Lo Yochlu B'tshuma, even though he has to feed it, it's still, since it's owned, the kinyan is owned, the title is owned to her, they're not allowed to eat. And the Kohen would have to feed her chulin, feed them chulin food. Now Eluhein Avdei Tzon Barzel. Tzon Barzel, we said, was owned by him, the Kohen. So then it says, Im Mesu Mesu Lo. If they die, they die to him. It's his loss. Vim Hosiru, if they go up in value, Hosiru Lo. It's to him. Ho Vahu Chai Bachriusam, since he's responsible to pay any achwaras for it, he has to pay back at the end of the day. If he divorces or dies, he has to pay back the loss of the value. It's his responsibility. So Hare Elu Yochel B'Tshuma, these Avadim of Tzon Barzel may eat from Tshuma. Now, Bas Yisrael, Shenises LeKohen, now a regular woman, not a psul at all, marries a Kohen. V'chnisa lo Avadim, and she brings into this marriage Avadim, Bein Avdei Mulug, Bein Avdei Tzon Barzel, whether it be from the property owned by her or property that's going to be owned by him. Hare Elu Yochlu B'Tshuma. In both scenarios, in this case, since it's a marriage that's mutter, there's no Isser involved, then both Avadim, even the Nichse Mulug, which is not owned by the Kohen, it's rather owned by her, even those Avadim may eat, because since she's allowed to eat, she's allowed to feed them also.
Interesting that they wouldn't start with this and then with the other one.
Exactly, that would be seen like the normal halacha, right. And then teach the...
Yeah.
I agree. Okay, so then the Mishnah says, now a Bas Kohen Shenises L'Yisrael, Bas Kohen who used to be able to eat Tshuma, but now gets married to a Ben Yisrael, is not allowed to eat Tshuma anymore. V'yachnisa lo Avadim, and now in this relationship she brings in some Avadim, Bein Avdei Mulug, Bein Avdei Tzon Barzel, Hare Elu, Lo Yochlu B'Tshuma. In both scenarios, the Avadim cannot eat. The ones that Tzon Barzel certainly can't eat because it's owned by Ben Yisrael. And even the ones owned by the Bas Kohen may not eat now either, because now that she's married to a non-Kohen, she no longer can eat Tshuma, so she can't feed her Avadim Tshuma anymore either. From her father's house, if she wanted. If she gets divorced, she goes back to her father's house and may eat Tshuma. But currently, in her current relationship, she's not allowed to eat Tshuma, and she cannot feed her Avadim Tshuma either. Okay. Now, Tosafot points out the interesting thing here. What comes out is that by Avdei Mulug, the Kinyan Guf, the property, the title, is owned by the woman. The Kinyan Peros, who reaps benefit of the fruit, is owned by the husband, by the Kohen.
It's Mulug, right?
Is a Mulug, exactly. So Tosas points out, even according to the top Tosas writes, Afilu Leman Da'amar Kinyan Peros Ki Kinyan Guf Dami. There is an opinion, top Tosos, there is an opinion that Kinyan Peros, having the rights to the fruit, is as if you have rights to the entire karka. So in the case of Nichse Mulug, where the Kohen has rights to the Peros, so that should be viewed as rights of the entire Guf, and he should be able to feed the Avadim of Nichse Mulug. So even according to that man damer, says Tosfos, again, a filu man damer, kinin peros, kinin guvdami normally, lo chashe b'hachi kinin kaspo. In this case, it's not called kinin kaspo. There's a difference. In order, we'll see in the Gemara, in order to feed the avadim, avadim are not kohanim, it's called kinin kaspo, special gzeres hakasuf. If the kohen owns it, it's kinin kaspo, he's allowed to feed his avadim. Even though you're going to say kinin peros, it might be like kinin guf, it's still not considered kinin kaspo. It's a different type of category, says Tosfos. Kevin Shino guf shalo. Even though kinin peros is like having title, it's not actual title of the karka, and it's not going to be kinin kaspo. How do we know? What's a raya that's not really considered kinin guf? Kemosha ein yotzen b'shein v'ayin l'ish. So what's halacha? Halacha is an evik kanani. If the adon knocks out his eye or his tooth, the first pasuk, he goes free. He goes free, even though you're not allowed to free an evid. If you knock out his eye or his tooth, he goes free. So it comes to a baal, a husband of a nichse malug, if he knocks out the tooth or an eye of an evid, he doesn't go free. Even though you hold kinyan peros to kinyan guf, we see it's not completely kinyan guf. He doesn't really own it. So just like by shein v'ayin, he doesn't go out, so too when it comes to feeding truma, we don't view this as really being kinyan kaspo. Okay, back to the Gemara now. So let's begin the Gemara. Gemara wants to know now, the Avdi Malug, the Avadim that are owned as part of Nichse Malug, which again, I'll keep reminding everyone, Nichse Malug, yeah.
Every Yehudi does not. Only Evet Knani.
Exactly. Every has 6 years max and he goes out.
Yeah.
Unless he wants to be a Nirtza. Gets ear pierced and stays for Til Yovel. So that's an Evet Ivri. But Evet Knani, these halachas apply to an Evet Knani. So Avdi Malug, Lo Yochlu B'tshuma. So we said Avdi Malug, as Malug is owned by her. So these avadim may not eat truma since she's there's an isser in her marriage to the kohen. So since she's a halala, her avadim may not eat either. Amai asks Gemara, why not? Why do the avdi malug not eat from truma? Leve kikinyano shekana kinyan. Let it be at least like a kinyan that he acquires. And we know that a kinyan kaspo of an evid, of a kohen rather, we mentioned before, if the kohen owns something, it's going to be able to eat all the truma. Ditanya, the Braisa tells us. Minayin the kohen shenasa isha. How do I know that when a kohen marries a woman, the kana avadim, or it should be kana avadim, or he acquires avadim, she yochlu b'tshuma, that the wife and the avadim are able to eat tshuma? Shenamar, the pasuk says, v'chohen ki yikne nefesh, kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo. When a kohen acquires a nefesh, it becomes his kinyan kaspo, his acquisition, and he could feed it tshuma. So that includes a woman, he acquires a woman through kedushin, and he acquires an eved through kinyanim. So when we nine, the Braisa continues, Leisha Shekansa Avadim. How do we know that a woman, his wife, is an Ashish Kohen that is Kone Avadim, that are Nichse Malug, Rashi points out, even though they're Nichse Malug, but they're still owned by her, that such Avadim, Avadim may eat Chuma? And also, Vavadim Shekanu Avadim, Sheyochel B'Chuma. So this last case is pretty interesting. That, or a case of where Avadim, Avde Kohen, an Avde Kohen is allowed to eat Chuma, we said. If he's owned by the Kohen, he can eat Chuma. How do we know if the Eved acquires his own Eved? Imagine that an Eved buying his own Eved. How do you know that that Eved also, the second tier Eved, may also eat Shuma? Very good. So look at Rashi. Rashi writes, and he addresses your question. See, Rashi, Vavadav Shekanu Avadim. How is it possible that an Eved is Konan an Eved, Vim Tomer Ma Shekanu Eved, Konan Rabo? Whatever an Eved buys automatically goes back to the Rabo, the master. So you can never have a case of an Eved owning his own Eved. Says Rashi that what are we coming to include here? Mishkachasa, we have such a case. Kigon shenosu lo le'eved mana amnasha in l'rabo rushisbo. I could give an eved saying I'm giving this to you on condition that your master will not have any ownership of the money that I give you. Yep. Gemara and Kedushin talk about this. Misha talks about an eved accepting kesef. He could be one of the ways he's freed is by accepting kesef. Maris, how could he accept kesef? Masha kana rabo, kana avdo, kana rabo. So they say you could make such a tenai. Tosus has a different scenario. I'm not really sure what he's talking about there, but we have a case that creates such a case that an eved may be kona another eved. So now the Gemara wants to know, the Bryce wants to know, how do you know a woman who buys avadim? Or an Eved who buys Avadim, even though they're second level. The first half of the Bryce was talking about the Kohen himself having an ownership, owning a wife or an Eved. That makes sense. But how do we know that the second tier level, the wife and Eved, who are Kohen Avadim on their own, to now a third level, how do we know they can extend the Heter Truma to even that far down the line? That's what the Gemara is asking now. So the Gemara says, Shinamra, the Pasuk says, V'choen ki yikne nefesh, kinyan kaspo, hu yochabo. So this is a very strange Pasuk. It says kinyan twice here. I guess the drasha is, kinyano shekana kinyan ochel. His kinyan, the one he owns, the wife or the eved, who makes their own acquisition, can also feed truma to that second acquisition.
Why second? Why third level? His wife is kegufo. Wife is his. So if she's got an eved, it's his. If it's an eved.
We don't say isha kegufo with respect to all halachas. It's a nice thing we do say a lot, but we don't say it across the board, and it doesn't really mean literally. She's still only eating because she's married to this kohen, but she herself is not a kohen. So it's still passed on. So it's the second level now already. From him to her to an eved.
Yeah, it's second level in actuality, but in essence, it's one.
It's much premium. But in terms of, I know you don't like finances, you said, but in terms of monetarily, he owns her. That's one level. And she owns the eved. That's another level. Even though you're right, spiritually, they're isha kegufo. And even halachically, sometimes isha kegufo, in terms of kinanim, she's viewed as something external and independent. So the klal is, so that being the case, the Gemara asks, so why is it true? If the woman who acquires an Eved is able to eat Truma, so why not by our Mishnah? Even though the woman is an Amana married to Kohen Gadol, even though she's Aser, she's still, if she's Kona, she's Kinyana of Kohen, if she's Kona of Adim, then the Avdei Nichsei Malug, they should be allowed to eat Truma. Why does the Mishnah say that the Avdei Nichsei Malug may not eat Truma? Right? And the answer seems obvious because she can't eat Truma herself. But okay, the Gemara just sets it up. Sometimes the Gemara like sets up like a nice little alley-oop for itself to just slam dunk and say, okay, the answer is that kola ochel machil, kol sheino ochel ina machil. No, the klal is only if the wife herself could eat, is she able to feed machil the avadim. But if she herself cannot eat, like the case of an almana l'kohen gadol, she can eat because she's married in Be'isr, so she also can't feed her avadim of nichsei mulug. Say it again.
We're talking about Israel here, or about
Israel?
Yeah, we're talking about an Amana who marries a Kohen Gadol, which is Aser, or a Grusha V'Chalutza that marries a Kohen Hedyot, which is also Aser.
No, it says,
"Umenayin Lisha." No, that Bryce is regular. Okay. Now the answer is you can't compare. The Bryce is talking about a regular case of Yisrael. Our Mishnah is talking about a Psul. So in terms of the Gemara, only when the wife herself is able to eat can she feed. Bramish is where the wife herself cannot eat because she's also to be with her husband, and therefore she cannot feed. So I want to challenge this klal. Is it really true? Velo, we have a klal that only kol ochel meichel, only if the person themselves could eat, may they feed the others. Harei Ariel v'chal tamei. Ariel, someone who does not have a bris, or someone who's tamei. Shein ochlin. Right now they're not able to eat because they're an Ariel and tamei based on psukim, may not eat truma. But yet they could still be machilim. They could still give an eved. So let's say a kohen. A Kohen's an Ariel, and he has Avadim. Even though he can't eat, he can feed his Avadim. Or Kohen became Tameh. We don't say the Avadim have to stop eating until he gets Tahor. The Avadim are allowed to continue to eat. So we see that you have a case where a person is Eino Ochel, yet he's Machil. So Gemara says that's different by the Ariel and Tameh case. They're different. Hasam Pumayu Kavlu. Literally what it means, I think, is the mouth is heavy. The mouth is in pain. So right, so they have a heavy mouth. Painful mouth, which Rashi interprets to mean pumayo kavle. I'm not really sure how it fits into this.
Right,
that's what Rashi says.
What?
What's the name of this disease in English? It's a famous disease. Hapevat alpaim.
What's tapaim?
Hoof in mouth.
Huh?
Hoof in mouth.
Yeah. It's the mouth is hurting.
Uh-huh. So I'm not sure how it connects here, but look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Pumayu kavlehu, kolomar, mechusrei takantahem. They're missing some fix. Aval omnim litakenu lecha. But you're able to fix them. The tamei person could go to the mikvah, whatever he needs to do to become tahor. And the Ariel could just receive a bris milah. Avazu, shehi nasis chalala, the case of the Mishnah, where the Amana marries a Kohen Gadol, she becomes a chalala by that marriage, ein latikun olamas, she can never be fixed.
Even if she marries a regular Kohen, she cannot eat anymore.
Correct, exactly. She's done, forever. She can never eat Truma. So that's why she's done. She's called Eino Ochel, Eino Meichel. But these cases are not Eino Ochel, they're Eino Ochel L'Shaita, until they get fixed. But inherently, they are have the ability. They have the ability to eventually eat. Now, again, I'm not still sure not what, how the heavy mouth connects to this. What's the analogy here? But I never really understand the adages of the Gemara.
Even if the Kohen Gadol dies, she still cannot marry her Kohen.
Yep, right. She's done. Gone. She's done. Once you marry a Kohen Be'isser, you become a Chalala. Okay. So then the Gemara says, okay, I'll give you another case. Hare Mamzer, a Mamzer, which cannot be fixed. It's the Mishnah Chayit that tells us that's one of the examples of Mavos Lo Yuchal Liskon. You can't fix that, of course. But yet, She'eno Ochel Umaychel. A Mamzer cannot eat Chuma, but he can be Machil. So now, this is somewhat of a confusing case here. How do you create such a Mamzer? There's a Rashi here. So we'll read through the Rashi and we'll try to understand it. It's a little confusing. Very confusing, I should say. Hare Mamzer, Rashi says. A Bas Yisrael shenises lekohen. A Bas Yisrael marries a kohen. Nope, mutter. Bas Yisrael marries a kohen, completely mutter. But Yaldas Bas. And they have birth, give birth to a daughter. Ha Bas now nises le mamzer. She marries a mamzer, which is Usser. The Yalda Ben. Mamzer is someone who comes from an Isser relationship of a Rios, let's say.
And every Isser or only a Rios?
Only Gil Rios, only if it's Karis. So, but not Nida does not generate a Mamzer, even though there's an Issacharis. So they have give birth to a daughter, and then the daughter marries a Mamzer. So their daughter marries a Mamzer, but Yalda Ben. Now they have a grandson, and now the grandson is a Din of a Mamzer because the father is a Mamzer. Umesa, and she dies. The daughter dies. Va Ben Kaim, but the grandson is alive. Now the grandson's a Mamzer. He's not a Kohen at all. The grandson's alive. Vahare. Aim Ima, the grandmother, Eishes Kohen, the grandmother's Eishes Kohen, married to Kohen. Ocheles Bishvilo, Chuma Lachar Mises Baila. So the halacha is that a Bas Yisrael who marries a Kohen is allowed to eat Chuma so long as she's married. Let's say her husband dies, so she has to go back to her father's house, can't eat Chuma, unless she has a child or grandchild that allows her to still stay within the Kuna family. So if she's a grandchild, even though there's no child, she's still part of the Kuna family and can continue to eat Chuma. So that's the case. Exactly. She's allowed to still eat Chuma even though the grandson to mom is not a Kohen and can't eat. So he's not able to eat, but he's allowed to be Machil, allow his mother, grandmother rather, to eat Chuma. So that's the Kshayla. So it's a very wild case. Not that wild of a case, but just trying to fit everything in. So we see it's not such a klal that Einu Ochel Machil. We have cases where a person who does not eat is able to be Machil. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina explains, Kinyan Ochel Kamar. We're talking about Kinyanim. You're right, you can have cases of an Eino Ochel Machel. The Mamzer, who doesn't eat, can be Machel, can allow the grandmother to eat. We're talking about, are there ever Kinyanim where a person could be Kone something, an Eved, someone, Kone someone, and they themselves not eat, but be Machel through Kinyanim? That's the question. Yes, we have other cases of Eino Ochel Machel, but within Kinyanim, we never have a case of someone who themselves cannot eat and is kona someone who can eat. That's the cloud. So says Ravina again, kinyan ochel kamar. We're talking about in terms of kinyanim. Kinyan ochel machel. If the person who's kona is eating himself or herself, she can be machel to the avadim. But she ain't ochel. If she herself cannot eat because she's a chalala, then ain't machel that she cannot feed her avadim. So that's what Ravina explains. That's the reason why Avdei Malug, in this case, does not eat Chuma, because she herself cannot eat Chuma. Now, Rava says differently. Rava Amar, Midiraisa Michel Achel. Really, Midiraisa, the Avde Nichse Melug, in this case, may eat Chuma. We brought the Braisa above, that the Kinyan Kaspa, even the Kinyan of the Kinyan, the Kinyan of the Isha, can really eat. The Vadim of the Isha can eat. Even though she can eat, Midiraisa, the Avid Lauti, which is a fascinating concept, how that works exactly. What?
Oh, ill because they are Kinyan, Kinyano of the Kohen.
So end up being
the Kinyan of the Kinyano.
Exactly. It ends up being, we circumvent her. It's really viewed as an extension of a Kohen's ownership because he marries her. So it's very. What? Yeah, I'm explaining in English. That's all. To those who can't understand Hebrew.
No, that's what I said before.
What you said before.
But it's his. Even though it's hers, it's his.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying this before. Okay. So, but that's the idea that we view them as the avadim as an extension of the kohen, so it goes back to the husband, the kohen, even though she herself doesn't eat. Ah, so if that's the case, if really midiraisa that the avde nichse melug may eat even in the case of a psul. So why does the Mishnah say that they can't eat? So really midiraisa michel achli v'rabbanan hu degazi behu, but the rabban asked them from eating. Why? Kadesha tomer, we want her to say the following to herself: ani eini ocheles, I'm not allowed to eat because I'm a chalala. Now the amanda says to herself, I married a kohen gadol, I'm pasul, I'm a chalala, I can eat. Then she's going to say, avdi eini ochlin, my avadim also can't eat because the Chum instituted the gzera. My avadim can't eat either. Zona here, I must be a zona at Shlo. I must be viewed as a zona since my avadim can't eat either. And hilkach asalafuke, and then through that, the husband will divorce her. We're trying to create some type of impetus for the husband, the kohen, to divorce the pasul wife to him. So by saying that avadim can't eat, if the avadim were to eat, she's going to say, oh, if the avadim can eat, my marriage is probably a good marriage. Let me stay married because my avadim could eat truma. But if she realized that she can't eat, and the avadim can't eat either, she must be viewed as a zona to herself and not want this relationship. And the kohen doesn't want to marry a zona. He's not allowed to marry a zona. So even though it's not really a zona, but it looks like a zona, that will create a divorce between the two of them.
But in this case, she's not his slave, meaning he's coining her, but the stuff that it's not part of the marriage, it's not his, no matter what we say.
Correct. So you're going to have to, we do say, Mashikon Isha kind of baila also be such a klal.
Right, but it's obviously not, because there are many cases where she owns stuff that he doesn't.
But I think typically
like
those...
If by the time she gets married, she says, these things are mine and don't come part of the marriage.
Correct, that's all hers.
She has no right to do that.
Yes. And also, same thing...
She has no right at all to those things.
Right.
This is of the log, no?
Right. Well, that's exactly... It's similar to that.
It's different because Melok, he can have part of the profits even. But there are certain cases he can't have anything.
Right.
She says, this is mine, right? I mean, if he accepts one, they get married. That's
right. These are the sugyas and ksubas about what she has on her own. My siyadav, she could opt out. I don't want you have my siyadav. I want to keep them for myself. These are all situations that are discussed. But at the end of the day, she is still viewed as owned by him. So even though she might have rights to it, it's possible in a, you know, not a practical sense, but it's still viewed as his title. It's an extension of his ownership, even though practically he can't use it. I didn't look into the sugya. But imagine, it's probably very interesting stuff. How do you view that extension of the kinyan?
Because it seems from here that midiraisa, he owns it.
Midiraisa, it sounds like he owns it, right. Again, unless...
It's only midirabanan that they did like a whole thing because it's that she's midiraisa.
True. But you have to understand maybe how does kinyan kaspa work? Does kinyan kaspa, for the kohen to allow the avadim to eat, does it have to be a practical kinyan whereby he has access or just some type of... A looser kinyan is enough.
Is such a thing that she gets into marriage and it's not his?
Yeah.
Because he agreed?
Yeah.
With that?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't fit the Torah theme.
Yeah. Prenup, you know. It's a prenup.
Eskem Amun.
What?
Eskem Amun.
Yeah. Interesting. The Chazon Ish writes that if she dies... This case, Almana. If the Almana dies, no, I'm sorry, other way around. This is talking about a different case. Scratch that. Okay, not sure. They don't address it. I thought I was talking about something else. It's not. Anyway, so that's the second answer of why the Avadim don't eat. Really, the Avadim Nichse Malug should be able to eat because they're viewed as an extension of the Kohen's Kinyan. But as a gzera, they asked it so they could kind of enforce a divorce between the kohen and the grusha.
That's one opinion.
Yeah, that's the second opinion. The first opinion was that we're only talking about kinyan ochel, only in terms of kinyanim do we have this klal of kol ochel machel, eino ochel, eino machel. Third answer suggested by Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Amar gzera, shema tachil lachermisa. The gzera is a concern if we permit the avadim to eat now, then there's a concern even after death, you're going to feed them as well. So look at Rashi, the last few narrow lines. In Rashi, Shema Tachil, Abde Mulug, Shela, Lacher Mises, HaKohen Bala. Let's say the husband dies, the Kohen dies. There's a concern that the Avadim of Nichse Mulug are going to continue to eat Truma, even though the husband died. And that's only a problem by Nichse Mulug, of Abba Avdi, Son Barzo, that which the Kohen himself owned. Lek Lemigza, there's no such Gzera, the Hashalav Mishim Dida, Achli, El Mishim Kohen Shu Rabin. So when it comes to the Avadim owned by the Kohen, it's Pashit, that they're not going to eat anymore after the death of the Kohen, because they knew the Kohen owned it, and once the Kohen dies, they know they can't eat anymore, because the master died. But the Nichse Abdi Malug, Abdi Nichse Malug, which are owned by the wife, if the husband dies, they're going to still think, Well, their master's still alive. Their wife is still alive, and they could still eat, which they can't eat. They can only eat because they're going to the Kohen. But the Kohen dies, they're not going to know this.
Right.
So
I think that they're eating because of fear, not because of him.
Exactly. So because of that concern, they says Rav Ashi, that's why they ushered it. Even though, again, technically they're allowed to eat, theoretically they're allowed to eat Midiraisa, but because of after the death of the confusion, they ushered it even during while the Kohen's alive. The Gemara says, according to this logic of Rav Ashi, Elamiyat, if that's the case, Bas Yisrael Shinisis LaKohen, a non-Kohen woman who marries a Kohen who is allowed to eat truma. Maybe we should go there. Lo tochel. She should not eat truma. Gezerah shema tachel lachamisa. What's going to happen is, after her husband dies, the Kohen, she goes back to her father's house, who's not a Kohen, and she can't eat truma anymore. Shouldn't we be concerned that if during the marriage she eats truma, after death she'll continue to eat truma? That's aser. So we're not gozer. Obviously, that's not the case. We never gozer something now because after misa something's going to change. So El Amr Vashi, Vashi explains, Balmana Kohenes de Asya Lori Mikara Achli B'Chuma de Benisya. Insav Lahai, I'll read again what it means. Insav Lahai de Achli B'Chuma de Gavra. Vahashi Haji Lila Milsa Kamaisa Layada de Mikara Lo Shav de Lashi Chalala. Hasha Shav de Lashi de Chalala. Let's read that again. So Vashi says, Balmana Kohenes. A Kohenes refers to a woman who's a Bas Kohen. Okay, she's a Bas Kohen who marries. I guess it must have been a grusha, I guess.
Yeah.
So she's a grusha. And now, second.
She's a Kohen. No,
she's an almana.
Almana, okay. Either way, you could do almana to Kohen Gadol, or she's a grusha to Kohen Gadol. Okay. Oh, that's really true, right? Almana Kohen, as it says. So she's a Bas Kohen, and she became an almana. And she married Kohen Gadol, I guess. And she can't marry Kohen Gadol. Now, the Asir Lari, so she's going to justify, Lari is Lashon of a justification, she's going to rationalize to herself. Mei Kara, before I got married to this Kohen Gadol, Achli B'Truma, the Bein Asa, I was able to eat Truma in my father's house, because when she became an Almana, she went back to her father's house and ate Truma with her father. In Sevlei Lahai, Achli B'Truma, the Gavrai. So now she got married to this person, to the Kohen Gadol, I guess. And this person,
she became a halal now.
Right, but the Kohen Gadol was feeding the avadim, her avadim, the nichsei meluga avadim were eating truma, even though she wasn't, but the avadim were. So she sees even during her marriage, she thinks she has some level of kedusha because her avadim are eating. The hashta, now that she becomes divorced or widowed from the Kohen Gadol, hajili the milsa kamaisa. Let me go back to where I was before marriage, that I was eating truma in my father's house. V'lo yadan, she's not going to know, d'mikara, initially, lo shavi l'nafshi chalala. Before she married the Kohen Gadol, she wasn't a chalala, so that's why she ate in the father's house. But hasha, now that she married the Kohen Gadol, shavsi l'nafshi chalala, she turned herself into a chalala, and does not revert back to her original state of being mutter to eat the truma. So because of all these things,
when she marries a Kohen Gadol, she becomes a halala, and she cannot eat now truma.
Correct.
So we're saying that if when she becomes a halala, married to a Kohen Gadol, we let her out the meluk eat, she's going to think that she can eat also afterwards herself.
Oh, no, you're right, avadim. Let the avadim eat. She'll let the avadim eat even after death.
Right, yeah, she can eat.
Right. So not her, the avadim.
Not her, the avadim. The avadim, she's going to think that after death, the avadim will still be
right,
able to eat.
Right, right, right. Uh-huh. So that's the concern. So because of this whole case, they asked her to Abdi Nixamlug not eating even during the marriage because of the concern of after marriage.
And a true Kohen Gadol will really marry an almana? To begin with.
They did worse things.
So you think that now they will care about the Isu?
In the second base, I think a lot of things happen.
So, but they don't care because they didn't know for the wrong reason to begin with.
Exactly. Says the Gemara, Tinach, we have to, we're running out of time, it's already 6:40. Wow, Tinach, it makes sense, Almana Kohenes. We make sense, Almana, who's a Kohenes, who's in a Bas Kohen, that she might, when her husband dies, Kohen Gadol, she's going to go back to the father's house and want to think to feed her about the Truma. But Almana Bas Yisrael, Ma'ika, if she wasn't a Kohenes, she's a regular Bas Yisrael, then there's no Havamina to think, after her husband, the Kohen Gadol, dies, that she's going to continue to eat to feed the coin, the Avadim Chuma. There's no Havamina, because when she's a Yisrael, she's going to go back to her father's house, and there's no Chuma there. Michael Memo. So why is there gzera by all amanos? It should only be by an amana kohenes. In that case, she shouldn't feed the avdei nichsei malug. The Gemara says, bal menusa lo pligi rabbanan. When it came to amanos, they didn't distinguish. They said across the board, since there's a concern by amanos kohenes, they asked all amanos to feed the avdei nichsei malug. Gemara now says the different topic at the bottom of Samach Vavam and Aleph Itmar Hamechneses Shum Lebailam. Someone who brought in some Nichsei Tzum Barzel, which we said goes to the husband, and they assess the value in the Ksuba. And Rashi explained the bottom, second to last Rashi, Hamechneses Shum Lebailam Nichsei Tzum Barzel. They brought Nichsei Barzel. So they evaluated, assessed it, wrote in the ksuba the value of the property that was brought in, because he's responsible to pay back the property. And there were some, with the Nichsei Malug, it wasn't just property, there were utensils, there were plowing machines, whatever they had, and there were defined property. So what happens now, so, and Shagirsa says, Rashi, they get divorced. She's claiming her ksuba. So what happens now? So Gemara says the following machlokas. He omeris kliani no teles. I want to take the kalim. I want to take the tractor, whatever other kalim were there. And who omer dami mani no saying, I'm going to pay you the money back. I want to keep the actual property. I want to keep everything. I'm going to pay you the value. So who do we pass? Who do we listen to? Hadin immi. Who do we follow? Rabbi Huda omer. We follow hadin imma with her. We'll see why that is in a second. And Rabbi Ami omer hadin imma. We follow him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hadin Ima with her. Just to help you remember, there's a Hein Yehuda and Ima with her. So you'd have to remember who says what. So Ima, Rabbi Yehuda says with her. We follow Ima with the Hey, her. Mishum Shvach Beis Avia Di Dehava. The, literally, the not the praise, the kavod of the Beis Avia, of the house of her father, is with her. In other words, the way I explain this is that we want her to have the kavod and chashivas to be able to get remarried. So by giving whatever she wants, what she thinks to go and give the best respect and best chance of getting married again, so we follow her. Rabbi Avi Amar Hadin Ima, we follow him. Kevin Amar Mar Im Mesu Lo. If they die, because we're talking about Tzom Barzel, they die to him. Vim Hosiru Hosiru Lo. They go up in value to him. So Hol V'Chai Bachrusun Yochlu. And since he's responsible, the Mishnah told us to keep the value up, He's allowed to feed them truma if he's a kohen. So they're owned by him. So Tzom Barzel is him. He has the right to decide to pay her back the kalim or to pay her back the value. So that's how Rabbi Ami paskins. So Amar Rav Safra challenges Rav Ami. Mi katani v'hein shelo. Does the Mishnah say that they're his, that he owns the avdei nichsei malug? It says ho v'chai b'achrusun, since he's responsible. But being responsible does not mean that you own it. Katani ula olam lav didaynu, and they're not really his. So Rav Safra seems to support the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that the halacha is ima because of shrach beis avia. So Gemara says, is this really true? We're going to challenge out the question. Is there next?
I think his reason is different. Not shrach. His reason is because it's plain hers.
Who, Rabbi Yehuda?
No.
Rabbi Yehuda says it's ima.
Rav Safra's argument is that has to do with Beis Avi. He has to do that. They belong to her, so he has no right to give her money back.
And he doesn't say that. He just rejects Rabbi Ami's svara. He doesn't say, now, why do I think it's with her? It could be like Rabbi Ami, or
it
could be...
But it would seem that it makes sense, because if it's hers, it's hers. He has no right to take them and give her money if she doesn't want. Okay.
I hear what you're saying. He might be saying, we just don't know who owns it. So then the Gemara says, V'chol heicha dechai b'achrusun achlu b'tshuma. So we said in the Mishnah, the Gemara just quoted, is it really true that whenever someone's responsible for the achrayos to pay back any damage, they're allowed to feed a tshuma? Yeah.
We're talking about nechsen tzon barzel.
Correct.
Which is his.
Mm-hmm. And therefore what?
Therefore it stays his.
And therefore what?
Stasis.
No, that's what the Gemara Safra says. It doesn't really stay his. We assumed it was his. Just because you have chiyav achrayos doesn't mean that's yours. You know, you could be managing a building and responsible for anything that goes on there, but you don't own the building necessarily. So just responsibility does not necessarily equal ownership. So Gemara is going to challenge this idea. Does it really mean, and now not really the idea of ownership, but just because a person is responsible, is that really enough grounds for him to feed truma? So Gemara is going to bring some case of a Kohen having responsibility, yet not being able to feed Truma to what they're responsible for. Hatanan, the Mishnah tells us, Mishnah, where is this found in Bab Metzia?
Trumos,
okay. Yisrael shesachar para mikohen. A Kohen owns cows, and the Yisrael rents a cow from the Kohen. Hareza yochlenu karshine Truma. He's allowed to feed the animal, the cow, Truma, because it's owned by the Kohen. I'm just renting it, but it's really owned by the Kohen. But a Kohen shesachar para mikohen. The Kohen rents from the Yisrael. Even though Kohen is responsible to feed the animal, he cannot give it Truma because it's not owned by the Kohen. He's only renting it. So we see that even though there's a chraos for the Kohen, he's not allowed to feed Truma. Where's the Vitisvra? Does it really make sense? You can't compare the two. You're right that such a Kohen who's socher para is responsible if it gets lost or stolen, he's responsible. But he doesn't have full chraos. If it gets, an earthquake comes and swallows it up, something you can't completely anticipate, or b'chasher just gets weak, or b'nafachos it gets the value just went decreasingly low. Mimechayev, is he responsible for those extreme cases? Certainly not.
But
nixne barzah, he's full achrayos. Here is only partial achrayos, so you can't compare the cases. That's not a good raya. Halo damu elo le seifa. The comparison only works to the seifa of the Mishnah Shumos that says what? Yisrael shesham para mekohen. Yisrael that rents it and values and takes full responsibility of any increase or decrease of value I'll be responsible for. So if it's a Yisrael from a Kohen, lo yichlenu karshina chuma. Since Yisrael is taking full responsibility, it's viewed as completely the Yisrael's. Achrayos does equal eating chuma. Of a Kohen shesham par Yisrael, a Kohen who takes on all responsibilities of a Yisrael's cow, it becomes fully the Kohen's, and then he could yachilenu karshina chuma, then he may feed them chuma. So we see it's true, exactly, like the Mishnah. Avdei nichse malug, which full responsibility goes to the Kohen, here too also, you're able to feed chuma to such an animal. The interesting tosis on top, we have 18 minutes, so let's do the top tosis for a few lines. Karshina chuma, he writes, Amari, dikaram kaimel maichal behema. Karshina chuma, I'm not sure what exactly they are, but it's really animal. It's food for animals, specific for animals. Dim havi hayu ikarm le adam, because if they were for adam, for men only to eat, then hayu asar litnam le behema, mishum hefse chuma. You can't give animals chuma, of animal food, human chuma, human food to a animal, if it's chuma. So it must be that's chuma that's only for animals to eat. But then Tos has another problem. Wait a second. Mikol makom has to be chazal adam. He still has to be edible, fit somewhat to a person. Because the low chazu klal adam, if it wasn't fit at all to man, p'turin mitchuma u'maiser. Because it has to be, so in order to get off the ground to create chuma, it has to be chazal adam.
Probably the last leftovers.
Yeah. Does it say what karshina chuma is? Is there English?
Well, they call it vetch, which is something that they... If you were starving, you would eat it. It's not sawdust, most of the time you're not going to touch it.
It's given to the animals.
Mm-hmm. המשמשות למאכל בהמה, אף על פי שבדרך כלל אין גידולים של מאכל בהמה חייבים בתרומה, מכיוון שקרשינים ראויים גם למאכל אדם, חייבים בתרומה. אמנם אין קרשינים עומדים בעיקרם למאכל אדם. שאילו כן, הייתה האכלת התרומה לבהמה אסורה משום הפסד תרומה.
That's Tosfos, exactly. It's fit for men, because otherwise there wouldn't be a chiyuv tumah. But it has to be mostly really for the animals, otherwise you couldn't give it to the animals over Adam when it comes to Chuma. Okay. Then the Gemara halfway down says, Yosef Rabba of Rav Yosef, Bashili Pirka de Rav Nachman. These two Amorim were sitting in the back of the classroom during Rav Nachman's shir. The Yosef Kamari, they were saying, they're talking the back to each other. I'm not sure why they're saying that. Who cares where they were? And it seemed like they were like passing notes to each other in the back of the classroom. So during this discussion, it says, Tanik Kavasa de Rehuda and Tanik Kavasa de Riami. There's a brayse that supports each of the opinions above about that machlokas, who's halacha like ima or imo. So Tanik Kavasa de Riami, who held the halachas imo, that he gets to keep the kalim and give the money to her in that debate. Avdei Tzon Barzel, Yotzin B'shein V'ayin Le'ish, Aval Lo Le'ish. We said before, the Avdei Tzon Barzel are completely owned by him, the man, and only if he, the husband, knocks out the eye or tooth of the Avdei Tzon Barzel, do they go free. But if she does, they don't go free because she's not viewed as an owner. So this supports Rabbi Ami, who holds that Imo, he has complete ownership of the Avdei Tzon Barzel. Now, Tani Kavasa de Behuda, that the halachas Imo with her, So the Brisa says, "Hamachneses shum lebaila." She brings in some assessed value that they write in the ksuba of property lebaila. Im ratza baal limchor. If the husband wants to sell the nichsei barzel lo yimchor, he's not allowed to sell. So we see clearly that he doesn't have ownership of it. V'lo, not only that, elafilu hichnis la shum mishelo. Even if she brings in some property from his, what do you mean? She brings in from his. That he brings in?
Yeah.
Even that which he brings in for her, im ratza habal limkor lo yimkor, he's not allowed to sell either in that case. So he really has the lower hand here. So, im ratza machu shneim, if both of them decide to sell, I guess either of these cases, either the property that she brings in or that he brings in, the parnasa, they have to make some money, they need the money. So is it a good sale? So Amar Habal Motzi, so he said Habal Motzi Mea Lekuchos. So the husband's allowed to remove it from Lekuchos. In other words, the sale is not a good sale and he could take it away, even though they both sold it. So Rashi explains here, Habal Motzi, Lomi Bai Din Macharu below Daita, Umes. Needless to say, if he sells it without her consent, that certainly doesn't work. Oh Garsha, and he dies or he divorces her. Dimotzia miyad halakuchas, that she's allowed to take it out because he never had the right to sell in the first place. Elafilu meisahi, even if she dies, hu motzi miyad halakuchas. Even if she dies, he's still allowed to take it from the properties. Meaning she sold it and then she dies, he's allowed to remove it from the lakuchos. The mechir la mechir havia, the mechir is not a good sale. So it seems like they both have partial ownership and the sale is never a complete sale.
So even if he sold it?
Even if she sold it.
She had to be sold.
It's either him or her, not both of them together. Either him or her
right.
sell it.
The original case is that uh-huh. either him sells it or she sells it.
Right.
And in both cases, after she dies, he can go and take it back.
Right.
Even if he sold it.
Is it even if he sold it, yeah?
I don't know.
It's possible. I guess even if he sold it, since she didn't have consent in the beginning, it was never a good sale in the first place. You need both people's das for it to be a good sale.
I think it's the opposite. I think it crossed over, meaning if she dies, he can take it back. And if he dies, she can take it back. But
only if one of them sold it in the first place. Let's say both of them sold it together.
No, then it's not a problem.
Then he can't take it back anymore. Okay. So that's the second brisa. So we see in this brisa, though, that nichsei tzom barzel, he may not sell. So it's clearly not his to own.
Right.
That supports the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that the halacha is imah with her. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. We're passing like Rabbi Yehuda that imah, that she is the, she wins. Amle Rava, the Rav Nachman. So he says back to Rav Nachman, don't we have a brisa that supports Rav Yami, that the halacha is imo? Gemara says, the Rav Nachman responds back, even though there is a brisa that supports him, the logic seems to go better with Rav Yehuda. The logic overrides the brisa. Now, I'm not sure why the Gemara didn't say there was also a brisa that supported Rav Yehuda, though. I'm not sure why the Gemara didn't say that, though. But you had two brisas. One supported Rav Yami, one supported Rav Yehuda. For some reason, the Gemara ignores that. I don't know why. Okay, that's an interesting Tosos here also. Let's finish to the end, and then if we have time, we'll do this Tosos. It should take pretty quick to the end. So Gemara has a Maisa. Who is this? There's a woman, Da'ilule Legavra. She brought into this marriage with a man. It's Stala de Milsa Miksivasa. Some type of cloth or clothing. I don't know exactly what this is. They have a translation of it? A cloak. A glima, cloak, a shirt, or something. So she brought this in, and Ksuva, I guess, was a very fancy cloak. This looks Parsha. This one is Pasim. So she brought it in, and Shachav, and then he died. It was in the Ksuva, but he died. The husband died. Shakli Yasme, and the Yisomim took the this cloak, Uparsua Amisna, and covered the mace with his cloak. So what's the halacha? Amarava Kinya Misna, even though she really had the rights to it in the Ksuva, she was supposed to get it back. The mace is konen. How is the mace konen? So look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Kinyan Mesna, Tachriche Mace, the Tachrichim, the clothing that goes on the mace, Yisur HaNahin, they're Asir HaNah, one cannot get benefit, Kehektish, The Gemara Sham Sham Me'egla Rufa Beperak Nigmar Din. The Gemara Sanhedrin learns this out. It says Sham by Miriam. It says Sham by Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa. The Egla that gets its neck broken is Asbrana. Through that Gzeir Shava, a mace is also Asbrana. So once you lie the cloak on top of the mace, it becomes Asbrana, and she cannot retrieve it anymore. So Gemara says Amarle Nani. Nani is the name of Braid of Yosef, the son of Yosef. Braid Rava, the son of Rava, the Rav Kana. V'hamar Rava Amar of Nachman Halakha Bihuda. Isn't a halach like Rehuda, who says that the klal is imav. That's with her, and she has rights to it. So I guess the question is that Rashi doesn't really explain the question, but it should be, it's her cloak, though. How is it possible? Maybe someone could create ishana on davar she'ena shelo. Is that the question?
It doesn't belong to the heir to put on the, to put it on. They didn't have the right to put it on the corpse in the first place.
So, but once they did, though, isn't lamaisa going to be usher? Are we saying a person Adam eno osa davar she'ena shelo? A person cannot aser something that is not theirs. So is that what he's saying here?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. You can't aser anything that's not yours. So how do they have the right to do this? So the Gemara says Amale milo moder Rehuda. Even though Rehuda holds that the halacha zima that it's with her, it's really hers to own. It's nechse malug is hers. Does he not agree to mechusar gavino? It's missing the collection. She never collected it, Lamaisa. The mechusar gavino b'shusay kai. It stands in the original reshus. She's a shibud. You're right. She's a lien on this property. She's a lien on the cloak, but it's Lamaisa, not in her possession. And whenever there's a shibud alone, so the halacha is that Rava Tame, Rava holds that damark Rava hektesh chametz v'shichur v'mafkinin midei shibud. Oh, I'm sorry, Birshuke Kai, that's a response. Birshuke Kai. So, the lach is, look at Rashi, Milo Modi Rav Yehuda, the Mechusar Gavainu, Afagav the Hadinimo, even though it's really hers, Modihu the Chokama de Lo Gavisinu, Mine, as long as she didn't collect it yet, La Birshuke Kaimi, doesn't stand in her Rishus yet. Ela Shibud of Alma Isla, she has a Shibud, a lean on this cloak, Alayo, the Ha Imnentu Onavdu Chai Berchuisen. Vechem the Birshus Yasmit Ninu, since currently they're in the Rishus of the Yisomim, Asi hektish daktishina yasmi, the hektish or the iser hana of mace is going to be chal in this cloak, umafkile the shibudayu v'yavdime. It's going to uproot this shibud.
But they still have to pay her for that or not?
This talks about these halachas of being mazik someone's shibud. Is this considered mazik? I don't remember the halachas of it.
Because the whole thing is that it's really since she didn't take it, she has a shibud. And they used it, but the shibud is still there. I mean, they all
correct. So normally, if a person is mazik someone's shibud, they have to pay it.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it's the same halach if you're makdish someone's shibud.
She could demand repayment.
Okay. Right. Okay. And the Gemara explained that this is Rava, the Tame, this is Rava, according to his general reasoning, the Marava hektish, the chametz, the shechur, mafgin, midei shibud. That he holds the person's makdish something, or he's Meshachar and Eved, or if he's going to turn into Chametz, a Shibud, the bread that turns into Chametz, all those will completely remove the lien. Here too also, the lien will be completely removed. When the Yisomen take this cloak, which has a lien on it, place it on the mace, which is now what we find compared to Hekdesh, it will be Oker, the Shibud entirely.
Okay, can we expand on this?
This idea?
Yeah, Hekdesh, okay. Chametz because it's
the Isser comes, Isser Chavitz comes.
Right. There's no Shibud, right? Because it's like, we learned this before.
Yeah, this comes up in many places in Shas. It's quoted on the side here 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 times. I think maybe more than that, though. It's more on Chulin, which he doesn't mention here.
Im Shibud Adam et Shoro Leval Chobo Veshuv Ikdisho Le Mizbeach.
Okay, we should do the review quickly.
Yeah.
Should I get back to that review to we do this? Okay. So we start off today, the Mishnah telling us that there's a difference between Nichsei Melug and Nichsei Tzom Barzel. Tzom Barzel is owned by the husband, and the Nichsei Melug is owned by the Isha. So normally we said any Eved brought into the relationship of a woman marrying a Kohen can eat the Truma. But in the case of marrying an Amar L'Kohen Gadol or Grusha Chulutla to a Kohen Gadol where there's an Isser, then only Nichsei Tzom Barzel could eat because it's owned by the Kohen, but Nichsei Avdi Melug cannot eat because it's not owned by the Kohen, it's hers, and she's a Chalala. Gemara wanted to know what the source was. The Gemara brought these sources of Kinyan Kaspo, and we saw a Kinyan of a Kinyan also is able to feed Truma. because he owns the wife and the wife bites on another kinyan. So through that, they could also, Megzeyas HaKasev, feed the chuma to the last kohen. Then we have this klal of kol ochel meichel, eino ochel, eino meichel. We had other cases of exceptions. An Ariel and a Tame, even though they cannot eat, they can be Meichel because they themselves can fix themselves. And it came to Mamzos, we had this crazy case of a Mamzer, even though he cannot eat, he can be Meichel, his grandmother. So you end up saying that the Gemara's, the Mishnah's referring to situations where three entered what the Mishnah's case was, that even though they are not Ochel, they still eat. So since they're Eino Ochel, they're not Eino Meichel either. We had either because we're talking about in terms of Kinyanim only, but in the world of Kinyanim, Eino Ochel, Eino Meichel. Or we suggest that even Midaraisa, really the Avdei Nichsei Melug may eat the Truma. It was simply a Gzeira. So Ravina had one Gzeira because it might come to, we want them to think that she's a Zona, because the Avadim can eat and force them to get divorced. Ravashi thought it might be a concern that after they get divorced and she's a Koheness, she might go back to her father's house and eat Truma. It's going to get confusing. So the Gzeira, we did not allow the Avdei Nichsei Melug to eat. Then the last line of Amud Aleph spoke about this case of, they had a fight of who had to pay back the Ksuba. Could he pay back simply money to her, or can she request even the kalim, the actual objects? That was machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda thought the halacha was imo with her. Rabbi Ami thought the halacha was imo with him. Rabbi Yehuda thought because of shvach beis aviyah didah, which how we paskin that the svar want her to look chashuv to be able to get remarried. Rabbi Ami thought it was with him because achraus, the achraus is on him. He's responsible, therefore he has ownership. And if Safra says, achraus does not translate into ownership. Just because you're responsible doesn't mean that you own it. We end up to bring this case of someone renting a cow from a Kohen of Yisrael. If he has partial ownership, then you can't feed the Truma. But if the Kohen has full ownership of it, then he can feed Truma. So we do see that achraus does translate into a heter of feeding Truma. Then we had a little discussion of some people talking in the back of the classroom of Rav Nachman. They had two different brises supporting each opinion, Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Ami, and we ended up concluding, we passed, even though that there's a brisa that supports Rabbi Ami, we said the Svara goes in line with Rabbi Yehuda. And finally, we had the case of the woman who brought the cloak into the Ksuba, and the Yisoma ended up taking the cloak, placing it on top of the mace, and became Aser Bahana, that Isra'na, which is compared to Hekdesh, was Oker, the Shibud of the woman's Tom Barzel. And we end up saying that there are three cases that can be Oker a Shibud. It could either be Hekdesh, Chamech, or Shichra. Could all be Oker a Shibud.
Is this Mita considered Hekdesh or not?
This Mita, the mace?
Yeah.
It has a similar din to Hekdesh.
Because then they shouldn't pay back.
Then, why? We said by Hekdesh...
It's Oker the Shibud.
No, but we said before, if your person's Mazik, someone's Shibud, so you have to pay back for being Mazik a Shibud. So when you're makdish someone's shibud, also in essence you're being mazik it. That's what Harry said. The footnote said they'd be responsible for paying back the damage they caused there.
But the whole idea is that he's dead. They don't have to pay back.
I know. I thought she can't claim the cloak, but she can still get the money.
Forget about her case. Now let's talk about this famous case that's all over the place. Three cases. So mm-hmm. Let's say I lend you money.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say you lend me money. And as a guarantee, I give you a shore, and then I say, okay, now this shore is Hekdesh.
Right, okay.
Oh, but, okay, there's no Shibud, but I still owe you the money.
Exactly, money though, but not this object.
Right, another object, okay.